Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. This week, I'm sitting down with my friend Claudine Cooper. She is a married mom of three amazing kids, and she's that friend you go to when you want some no-nonsense advice, and in this interview, she has tons of it. We talk about finding balance, sharing the load with your spouse, communicating your needs, and the challenges of asking for help and relinquishing control. And she tells it like it is. You can find her on Instagram giving all of her no-nonsense advice at FitWit3. And I hope that you can find something in this interview that rings true for you.
Hi, Claudine.
Hi, Alicia. Good to see you. I know. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. It's so beautiful and peaceful over here.
We're in the LA life, so we can say that in the middle of February.
Seriously, right? No sleeves? It's a beautiful thing.
I can't complain.
No.
Now, I'm going to start differently with you.
Okay.
I normally say go back to pre-kids, but I'm going to take you further back.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of what happened in your younger life is important for people to know.
Yes. Okay.
And so you grew up in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, yes.
In the streets, kind of.
Very much so, yes.
And your dad gave you hands-on
information,
teaching in street life.
He did.
And tell us about that.
So
it's a little crazy.
Well, it's normal for me because it's just my reality, right? So for the first probably 12 or 13 years of my life, my dad spent a good portion of that time in prison. So I spent a lot of my weekends visiting my dad in a penitentiary, which I think is a unique experience because I'm pretty sure most people didn't do that on the weekends.
Yes.
Right? And then when he was released, I wanted to be with him. He wanted to be with me. And so I moved in with my dad and my grandmother and my cousins, and I lived in my grandma's house with my dad. So In you would like to think, you know, you go to prison, you come out, you're like, oh, I'm going to be an upstanding citizen now. I'm going to follow the rules of the law and do all that. But unfortunately, a lot of times the way it goes is you go back to what you know.
Yeah.
And so at that time, I was kind of transitioning from middle school to high school. And I wanted to be with my dad, but my dad, he was in the streets hustling, doing what he was doing back then. The crack game was big. So he was always here. I got to run here. I got to run there. I didn't want to be away from him. You know, there's probably some layers to that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt that maybe if I was with him, I could make up for the time that we didn't spend together. I don't know. I'm just looking back on that. So I was with my dad all the time, like all the time. And that meant drug runs. That meant gambling houses. That meant, you know, picking up his girlfriend of the time or whatever it was doing. I was with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, to answer your question, I got a crash course in street life 101 at a young age.
Yeah.
Yes.
You picked up a lot of information.
I did pick up a lot of information, but which, by the way, that information has since benefited my life in so many ways.
Yes.
I have to be honest with you and say that it's rarely a place that I feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can drop me in the middle of, well, I live in Inglewood, obviously you can drop me in the middle of Inglewood, but you could drop me anywhere and I don't feel nervous or I don't feel like you know, I got to grab my purse and blah, blah, blah. But I also am unashamed when I do feel that the area is unsafe for me to lock my door in front of a whole bunch of people who may be offended that I'm locking my door. I don't care. I know when I'm feeling that, it's a true feeling, and I trust that feeling.
Yeah, which I think comes from your life. You've really learned how to hone in on your feelings and really trust your senses, because that's a part of growing up in the streets.
It is, and it's also a part of parenting, and I'm sure that you're probably going there somewhere.
Yes.
But in trusting my intuition and in being able to listen to that inner voice, I've also been able to protect my kids thus far.
Yes.
Now they're going to have to go into the world and trust their own intuition, but up until now they've been safe, thank God.
And now, so you spent that time with your father, and then you had a couple of things go down. Your dad decided to move on to a different phase of his life.
He did. He got married and had a, you know, had more kids, and, you know, went into the church. And so, yes, life has changed, obviously.
Changed for you. And you had, I think, a death in the family.
Right. So, that was tough. Basically, what happened was it was kind of successive. It was like my dad got out, then my aunt, she came to live with us for a short period of time, then she went back to where she was living, and before I could see her again, she got killed by her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So that was a really tough time. That was probably too much all at once for a hormonal teenager, right?
Yes. And already going through.
I mean, 16. Yeah, just being 16, right? And I just sunk into a deep depression where I just couldn't snap out of it. I wanted to sleep all day, and I just couldn't eat anything, and I missed my aunt, and I was worried about my dad and his safety, and it just was a lot of things piling up, and I just felt overwhelmed, right? And so my mom stepped in and said, I think you need to see a therapist. And at that time, therapy, nowadays therapy is kind of cool. Like, I go to therapy. Doesn't everybody go to therapy? But that was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
People weren't into therapy like that. So I went to therapy, and the therapist said, listen, you need to exercise. And I was like, this is what this lady's telling me. I need to exercise. So I was like, give me some medicine.
Fix it.
And she said, you know, I really think that if you do an hour of exercise every day, it'll just boost this. I think there's this thing like serotonin or something in your brain. And it's like the happy feelings. And I did it, and it worked. And I've been doing it ever since.
It's become the standard for me that you work from.
Yes, yes.
And also it has instilled, I think, this level of discipline in you that I find awe-striking. Like, I don't even have a word for it. But you function from this level of discipline, from my perspective, in, like, all parts of your life.
So it's funny you say that, because what do you like to do? What do you love to do? You like to cook?
I love to cook. I'm like, what do I do for me? I love to cook. I've been doing yoga recently.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I have time to fit in for me. Getting my nails done, getting my hair done.
Okay, but let's use cooking, because you love to cook.
Yeah.
So if cooking makes you happy, it's not discipline that keeps you cooking.
Yeah.
See, so for me, I don't really look at it as a discipline. I do feel like I'm a disciplined person, but I found something that made me happy. And so if something makes you happy, it's not hard to do. Some people love to shop. That makes them happy. So if I told them they had to shop for an hour every day, they wouldn't be like, oh, damn, I gotta shop, you know?
Yeah, so
that's the thing. It's something
it's
that I love.
Pill.
Yes, it's
so
my
you
happy
don't
pill.
Need the Xanax and all of that.
Never have.
Stuff.
Never have taken anything that was created by man to make myself feel something.
That's great, because you got lucky and got a really good therapist that put you on the right track.
I'm going to say that she's a true Minnesota therapist. Like, she wore Birkenstocks. She was like supernatural. So that's something that I feel like was gifted to me by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I feel like I have to say before I talk about anything else is that all these little things that you're talking about, like running around in the streets with my dad and my aunt being murdered and, you know, going to this therapist and all these different things, my steps were kind of ordered. Mm-hmm. And I believe that even though I wasn't as faithful as I am now in my belief of God, I do believe that those things were not accidental. I believe all those things worked together to create this platform that I'm able to stand on now. And I know that, you know, I know that I've been blessed. I'm not confused about that.
And you used this platform. You wrote a book called 25 to Life.
Yes.
And you share basically 25 things that you try to be in order to live the life that you want to live.
Yes.
And one of the things you talk about is being balanced, which is super difficult when we talk about motherhood.
It is.
How do you work the balance into your life? What would you say is the main thing that you have to do in order to achieve balance? Because I've always felt like it can be very elusive, especially when kids come into play.
Ah, yes, girl. Yes, yes, I can. Now, you know, I love my kids.
Yes.
And I love my husband. Shout out to my husband. But before I had kids and before I had a husband, I was a single woman living my life, mm-hmm. right? And I wasn't an unhappy single person. The children and the husband were accompaniments to my already enjoyable life.
Yeah.
When I had my children, I became all consumed like any other mother. So I'm no different than anybody else in that for the first 2 years of motherhood, I was like, I will go nowhere. I will do nothing. No friend time, no family time. It's just me and my baby, you know, and the nursing.
Oh,
I mean,
so consuming.
So consuming. So I loved nursing. I loved the bond and the connection. And I did on-demand feeding. We co-slept. She stayed in the pack all day. I mean, I was all Earth Mother 110%. And then I got pregnant again. And I had the second baby. And I remember walking up the stairs and my husband was enjoying his life on the computer, surfing the internet. And I have a baby on the breast and I have a 2-year-old on my ankles. And I'm like, what in the?
Yes, I have been there.
And what you doing?
Exactly. Because in their heads, they're like, I can't do anything. So
you got the boobs.
Yes.
You exactly. You got the boobs. What am I supposed to do? So I remember I had this infant and I go in and I say to my husband, this is not going to work for me. The one being consumed with the one, that was one thing.
Yeah.
The two, I said, listen,
it's overwhelming.
We agreed to this, right? We agreed to have multiple children. So I shouldn't have to do, and granted, at the time, I was only working a little bit at the gym and I was staying home more like full time. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, neither one of us ever really saw that model. So we're just muddling through this. You're the provider. I'm the stay home mom. I do all the parenting. You do all the providing. And therefore, the overlap doesn't exist.
And it's something that you just can't foresee to have those conversations because you have no clue. And then you're both coming to this relationship and this parenting thing with your own ideas.
Yes.
And your own imprint of parenting.
Your own perspective based on your mother, based on your father, based on the information that you've been given in your life. And you have to somehow come to a consensus about how you want this to be done.
And granted, a lot of people don't. And then there's a resentment just.
And divorce.
Builds up. Yes. But and you divorce. Said we're not going that way.
And I said we're not going that way. So the conversation went something like this. I can't do this. I cannot be the be all for these kids. I need you. I need your hands in this. I need your input. I need your help. And I think for me, and I know for you, and I know for a lot of mothers who are probably watching this, asking for help, even from your husband, who you love and adore, is very challenging.
Yes, it is.
We love to do everything. It's in our nature. So I'm that way. Mm-hmm. I like to do everything. Plus, I like everything done my way.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
It's easier if it's just done your way.
But it's not healthy in the balance part of it, mm-hmm. you know? And before I was a mom and before I was a wife, I was a woman. And I just had to relinquish control. So my husband said, I don't know why you're acting like I don't want to help. I want to help. Go have fun. Make a date with your friends. I'm fine to be here with the kids. Just do what you want to do and I'll do my part. But while you're here, they want you.
Yeah.
So if you want to get out, just get out, you know? So I said, okay. I took some time and I got out. Mm-hmm. And I came home and my daughter, because I told you I was Earth Mother, right? Who hadn't watched TV.
Oh, wow. You went all the way there. All the way there.
My toddler, who had not watched any real TV, like maybe a little show here and there, was planted next to her dad. And my infant was on her dad's lap. And they were watching the game on TV, just eyes glued, like.
And it was the most amazing thing there.
And I was mortified. What are you doing? What are you doing? I told you that they can't watch TV. It's too much stimulation. Their eyes, they can't process all of that. He was like, you want you time? You're going to have to relinquish control.
Oh, yes. So hard. So hard.
Now I'm like, deuces, all three of you kids, daddy's on duty, bye, you know, but back then it was hard.
That is so hard. And I think a lot of mothers don't see the flip side of that is, okay, you can do stuff, but you have to allow your partner or husband to do things the way they're going to do it. You can't determine what's happening at home if you want some you time. You have to hand it over.
As my husband would say, I'm a grown-ass man. You are not going to manage me.
That would be my husband's words, too. But as the personality type that needs to be in control, it's like, yeah, to take
it's not
breath.
Easy.
And a lot of times, never mind. I'll just
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're mad. So that's a real, like, to step out of yourself and, you know what? I want this. So I have to let go of control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And at the end of the day, let's be honest. We didn't marry men who are not trustworthy. They love their kids. They're going to do it differently.
Yes.
And that's okay. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson for me is that I had one parent over here and then I had one parent over here and this parent did things like this, and then this parent did things, but I never saw anybody cohesively work together to just kind of come to a common understanding. And I feel like the benefit that our children have growing up in a married household is the balance that they get mm-hmm. from the over-controlling super earth mother over here, and then the dad who's like, hey, let's watch the game and eat Doritos on the, you know, whatever, like, whatever. Okay, whatever, you know? So, yeah.
And so how I've mentioned that I think you are super disciplined.
Yes.
And we're talking about balancing things out. Is your husband the same level?
Oh, honey, I can't even, we can't even talk about discipline and talk about my husband in the same. Because if you go to the Webster's Dictionary and look for discipline, the picture of my husband is right there. People right now, this is a perfect example. Right now, people are like, I'm vegan. Then you go out to eat with that said person who's vegan and they order mac and cheese and you're like, oh, but mac and cheese isn't vegan. Oh, there's no meat in there. Excuse me, mac and cheese is not vegan. You know how I know? Because my husband is a vegan and been a vegan. And vegans will not soil their veganism. A true vegan mm-hmm. is not going to be eating cheese.
No.
You know, so I'm saying that to say that now I'm realizing people are not as disciplined, as you put it, mm-hmm. as what I'm used to dealing with in my house. Mm-hmm. Like his workout ethic, his work ethic, his, you know, his level of discipline when it comes to the things that are important to him, his veganism, things like that, they're unmatched mm-hmm. by anybody I've ever come in contact with, which is something that I was attracted to in him, you know?
And now, so both of you, mm-hmm. very focused people. You have three kids.
He makes me look like, girl, he makes me look like a gluttonous slob.
I don't want to work out with him.
You like don't. Ever. You don't. You don't. I told him one time, I said, we should do like a husband and wife boot camp team. He's like, oh, your people don't want to see me. He's like, because you have compassion. I was like, yeah, because I understand not everybody's on the same path. He's like, I don't listen. You do these burpees or you get out. Yeah. I'm like, oh God. Some Ouch. People have a bad knee. Some do the burpees or get out.
My husband is right.
Very along much the like same that,
lines.
Right?
Yes, right along the same lines. But now you have these three kids.
Yes.
And then I know they have three different personalities.
They do. As yours do, I'm sure,
yes,
too.
Very mm-hmm. different. How do they respond to the discipline and the level of expectation I know you guys have of yourself may transfer over to them?
That is a good question. That's a really good question. A question that I don't have an answer for, by the way.
How would you say your kids differ from you? That may be a struggle for you.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with this. Since we're back at the time when I walked in and they were watching TV and they mm-hmm. were still alive, we're gonna go back to that. So originally, I was trying to impose my strict sanctions for what I wanted for them mm-hmm. upon them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then right around when I walked in and they were watching TV and eating junk food, and I was like, but they're okay. Yeah. And they're still loved. And they still have a mom and a dad in the house. And they're kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And that chilled me out because I needed to chill out a little bit. I was just up here on 10. Parenting is probably the most, well, no. Marriage is probably the most humbling experience I have ever
yes.
been in, right? But with parenting, for me, it has softened me in ways that I never expected. So I had this expectation. Nobody in this house is going to eat meat. Nobody's going to touch meat. Then my four-year-old goes to pre-K and one of the parents brings these cute little sandwiches made with wheat bread and turkey, and they're cut into hearts and stars. And my daughter comes home and says, Mom, I had the most amazing snack today. What was it, honey? A turkey sandwich. A turkey sandwich? You ate a turkey sandwich? We don't eat meat. She lived. She survived the turkey sandwich.
That has been a huge lesson for me, is letting go. Because my first child will fight me tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Even if it's something he may agree with, just so I won't be right, he will say I am wrong. And having to learn how to, like, let that go, breathe through it and let him be who he's going to be.
Humbling, right?
It most humbling experiences.
Humbling.
Daily in parenting.
So I find parenting to be humbling, but I also find that it has helped me in other relationships. So I'm convinced that my relationship with my husband has improved because of our children. Mm-hmm. If I can love them through them not meeting my quote-unquote expectations, then I should be able to love him the same way. And wow. I should be able to love you the same way. And I should be able to love the people who take my classes the same way. If I say 20 burpees, but you have a bum knee or a bad back and you can't do 20 burpees, it's okay. I didn't used to be like that. Mm-hmm. I used to be like my husband. Like, if I said 20 burpees, man up and get these 20 braces. Your knee will be all right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Meeting people where they are.
Meeting people
where they are. That's a good lesson transfer. I've never thought of it that way. Because I know my husband is very black and white, too. And
yes.
Whew, Lord, sometimes.
You just, you know, if you can do it with your oldest and let him be who he is.
Who is my husband just times 100.
I always say they're the best of us and the worst of us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And learning, yeah, if I can learn how to deal with it, not deal with it, but learn how to
work through it, like you said.
Work through it mm-hmm. with my littlest. It's like,
why can't you do it with your
husband?
Rest?
He's an adult, so he can. I can actually reason with him.
And don't he pay the bills? Look.
I know.
Let me go on and shut up.
Then we get to have some fun adult time on top of all of that. Now, another part of letting go for you in parenting has been to let your kids out of your sight and let you go because you didn't have a great experience in daycare.
Oh, the worst. I had a pervert in the daycare who liked to fondle little kids. And so, of course, when daycare came up, you know, so here we are. I'm pregnant. My husband and I had discussed the idea that I would be a stay-home mom, but I had a great career. I had a very nice paycheck and a flourishing career. And, you know, it wasn't easy to walk away from that. I mean, I was a boss. Bosses love to be bosses, don't they? Yeah. So, but I believe that that was one reason why I was transferring my boss-iness onto my kid and onto her TV watching and onto what she ate, because leaving my career and having to focus all my attention onto this little human meant that this little human was going to have to be my paycheck. Mm-hmm. So she was going to have to be absolutely perfect, I guess, right?
Fill all the spaces that aren't filled anymore. Because I think a lot of women don't realize when you make that choice and you have that kid, you're giving up a lot of pieces of you.
Ooh, say it again. Say it again.
And you just don't even, sometimes you just don't even realize you just let go of all these pieces of you.
Like I look at you and you were a dancer. Mm-hmm. And do you get to dance anymore?
Nope. Not right now.
Not right
now. That's how I say to myself, not right now. It will come back.
It will.
But not right now.
Yeah. And you'll find ways to fuse that into what you're doing. Like for me, you know, even though I had to leave my career that I loved, since I was able to find social media, I was a media consultant. Mm-hmm. So I was able to use social media to still kind of do what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. But now I'm doing it for myself, not for someone else's business or brand, right?
And knowing that it's okay to love something that is yours and that it doesn't all have to be about the kids.
Exactly.
Which is a lesson you had to learn the hard way, but.
Right.
Having something of your own. Now, what I love about you on social media is you tell it like it is.
I try.
You're very open about sharing the struggles that you're going through.
Sure.
And you drop some real wisdom sometimes.
Thank you. Every now and then. I have a nugget or two. You see these gray hairs? My whole thing with social media is that I don't want to portray anything that I am doing to be of perfection. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the big trick nowadays is that everybody is getting altered, surgically altered, face altered, boobs altered, booty altered. Meanwhile, I'm just over here like a mom, a wife, trying to just keep my life together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be perfect to be real.
Well, that's part of why I do this show, because I feel like there's so many moms, because motherhood can be super isolating. Sitting in their homes, interacting with their children, and thinking that they're the only ones feeling this way. They're the only ones that feel like they've lost a part of themselves, or they're the only ones struggling. And it's like, no.
It's a whole community of us.
Yes. All of us.
All of us.
I don't care how many beautiful pictures somebody puts up on Instagram. They are struggling with something.
Yes.
So in motherhood, what would you say is the thing that you struggle with the most?
You know, I feel like my biggest fear for my children is that they won't have the grit that I have. And you can't transfer grit.
No.
So how do you teach grit? I don't know. I don't even think there is a teaching for it. And, you know, you brought up my, you know, my dad and how I grew up and the daycare and all these different experiences that probably would have set a person back, right? Mm-hmm. But I look at those things and I'm like, ooh, if I wouldn't have gone through that stuff, I probably wouldn't have been able to, let's say, hop in my car by myself and drive across country to LA. Like, who has that much gumption about themselves, right? You know, not a lot of people, but since I've been here, I, again, like all credit to God, feel like my steps were ordered. There was nowhere else I probably could have been to be able to walk into what was my purpose, what was for me, to really reach people through good health. This LA is the capital of fitness, health and fitness. People work out here so much that I have a big audience that I can reach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah.
So if you could pass some advice on to someone who's about to have a baby and has this idealistic idea of who they will be as a mom.
Okay.
What would you tell them?
Ooh. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to advice, I really shy away from giving advice. I would much rather share my personal experience because I find that experiences are far more relatable than opinions. If I tell you what I went through, then maybe when you find yourself losing balance or when you find yourself trying to over control the situation between your husband and your children, or when you're, you know, when you're losing yourself inside of motherhood, just remember, I've been there too. And I know you probably been there too.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really have any great advice. All I can say is just be woke. Be aware. See yourself when you're doing things. Maybe you're nagging at your husband. Don't get me wrong, because my husband will be in the comments talking about she still nags.
We all struggle with that.
But when you're trying to control how your husband is parenting your child, just step back from that and say, wait a minute, he's going to do it his way. I'm going to do it my way, you know, or even if it's not a marriage situation. I have a lot of friends who are single moms, but maybe your mother is stepping in and helping you out with your kids. Your mother doesn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So before you start micromanaging her while she's helping you, remind yourself that you needed help. That's all.
A lot of letting go. Well, I really appreciate you sitting down and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to share this.
Oh, thanks, Leisha.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum. And I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on The Mom Forum.